Wednesday. Rainy, unseasonably cool Wednesday in the month of June, June the 2nd, 2021. 16 minutes past the hour. Here we are on the air, 740-383-9944-61. My goodness. A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble's up next, 12:10 to 1 p.m., and then we've got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman. 4:10 to 5 p.m., Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 to 7 p.m. Not to mention tomorrow on my program, I believe 8:15 to 9 a.m., I will have your guest today, your regular, Dr. Feynman, on my show. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Dr. Feynman loves being on the radio with us. He loves you. He loves me.
Well, he was on, his first appearance on this station was on my show.
Good.
Yep. Back in, I think it was the election of 2016 or early 2017. Well, you know, I hate to bring it up, though, but the reason...
Oh, sure you do.
Well, the reason he was on was because he had said, he made a prediction that Trump would be out of office, I believe, and I'll say, you ask him about this today, but it's that Trump would be out of, he wouldn't serve as long, I believe it was, as Garfield or Harding. It was one of the presidents.
A few months.
Yeah, yeah. And
well, he did that.
He served his whole term.
Yeah, he did.
And then he amended it at one point and pushed it out to another president who I believe had been assassinated. And that didn't happen either.
He ought to be careful. The Secret Service will come looking for him.
Well, no, but I believe that was his initial appearance on this show. That was how I found Dr. Feynman, I believe, was based on that prediction.
Now, you had, what's the guy's name who's the predictor?
Kreskin.
Kreskin. You had his sealed in an envelope on the back porch here. Was he right in his prediction?
He was right. Yeah.
Okay.
Big Biden.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
But he also said last time he was on that Trump will run in 2024.
Oh, he did?
He did.
That's interesting. How do you run from jail?
Well, we don't know that he'll be in jail.
No,
he's got good lawyers.
That's my prediction.
But in any event,
June 2nd. I was just shocked. I looked at my phone. And it's June 2nd.
It is June 2nd,
and it's 61 degrees.
Yeah. Well, what do you make, and you weren't here then either, but what do you make of the story from 1974 about John Long, the police chief? Now, for people, here's the recap of it. We had a police chief in Marion, Ohio. The city council, there were four members at that time, 1974, who decided, I don't know if people, we really don't know. Did people come to them? Did they go looking for people? We don't know. But John Long was 2 months away from retirement. He was retiring at the end of 1974. They talked to people and then got with the sheriff to investigate what was going on with John Long. So they do this investigation. They invite the mayor in, who at that time was Don Quaintance. They invite the mayor in, and they tell the mayor this is what John Long has been accused of, but they wouldn't tell the mayor who accused him, and they wouldn't say what the charges would be.
Lovely.
But they wanted John to retire or resign.
He was only 2 months away.
Right. John said no. And then they held a public press conference, the sheriff and the city council people, saying they were going to unveil what these charges were. And John said they're hogwash, but I'm leaving in 2 months anyway, and I don't want to put my family through this. So he resigned. And then 3 hours later, at his desk, he shot himself. Dead.
Yikes. Yeah, I heard you talking about it this morning. And there's a lot of, in politics, there's a lot of crud like this that goes on. And I hope somebody feels really bad about him committing suicide. Not that he might have been bad. He might have been doing bad stuff. But there's a sequence of things you should do if you're going to charge a person with doing something bad. And it sounds like they avoided all of those things.
Well, here's the problem I have with it. I don't know what he did, and to this day, nobody knows what he did.
Yeah.
Because they never did reveal it. But the problem is, overall, in that whole story, is that people say, well, he must have done it. That's why he committed suicide. Well, he was it didn't really matter. He'd already done it in people's eyes because the accusations were being thrown in the paper and the press conferences were being held by the city council members. It was being covered in the paper every day. His resignation, even though he said hogwash, was on the front page of the paper. John Long resigns. You know, that, if anything's unstable in your life, or you have a very high, and a police chief would, he was a very well-respected police chief, that would hurt you, that's going to be attached to you for the rest of your life, if you did it or not.
There was at least one, maybe two police officers that were attacked in January 6th events out in Washington, D.C. that committed suicide. They had done nothing wrong. So I don't think you can say just because a person commits suicide after something comes up that they've done it.
Well, and it also says something to me that after he committed suicide, that just all went away.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Yeah. Oh, well.
But it's so sad because I talked to Mary Ellen about this, because she knew him. Mm-hmm. She was in county office at that time. And she said he was just the nicest guy. There was never any impropriety around him. But this is society today. You accuse some. It's not if they did it or not. All you have to do is accuse them.
Yeah, and I think that's been true for years and years and years. It's been true probably throughout our history that if you accuse somebody, there's a percentage of the people who didn't like you to start with that are going to believe it and they're going to spread it.
Well, what I don't understand, if you've never been charged with something, if you've never been to court, why would any news publication publish anything?
Well, back then, especially if it was a local news company, they had less and less. They weren't like NBC, who has, you have to have at least two corroborators.
Those days are dead.
Yeah, but back then, local, it was dead back then, too.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott and Glenn. It's Pastor Craig.
Good morning.
Yes.
I guess I'm engineering your show in 2 weeks, not this week.
Not this week. Okay. No. Well, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right.
But I just want to call and let you know, Glenn, once again, I agree with you. Even though there's a lot of things we disagree on, I agree with you.
You're a good dude.
I really think it's tragic that people say, well, obviously, if he committed suicide, he must have done something wrong. You cannot make that assumption.
Yeah, I mean, agree with you.
You don't know what else might be going on in that person's personal life.
And you as a minister, you have to face those people on a pretty weekly basis, I would imagine. People that are depressed like that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and people that, you know, sometimes people will tell you stuff that's going on that you had no clue that was going on in their life.
Right, yeah.
So I think it's tragic that people, you know, feel that way today. That, well, he must have been doing something wrong. The other thing, too, is this happened at a time when I was, a teenager living in Columbus, so I had no knowledge of this until Scott started talking about it here recently.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I think is also tragic is the fact that they would attempt to get him to resign 2 months before his retirement.
Yeah.
Without revealing, this is what you're accused of. This is who your accusers are. If it was that bad that they felt they needed to get him to resign, if it was that bad, then they should have just gone ahead and filed criminal charges or mm-hmm. whatever it was that they felt that it was that bad and let the man have his day in court.
I think the crux of the whole thing, to be honest, was and why he resigned and why he committed suicide, and I'm not in his head, but it was either that day or that way. It was right around that time. Not only had the charges, again, and nobody knows what they are, but that there were charges and city council was asking him to resign. It was I believe it was the sheriff at the time, and those four city council people had a press conference.
Mm.
And that was covered by local media. And I think that is what drove him to resign. And unfortunately, the resignation on top of that, I think, drove him to what happened 3 hours later at his desk.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had a track coach, Mr. Pfeiffer, Ken Pfeiffer, who committed suicide, and unfortunately my father was the minister that found him on the floor after he killed himself and killed his wife, by the way. But he was a probation officer after the fact. And the stress of all of that, he had done nothing wrong. It just wore him down. He wanted to get out. And I think that happens a lot. And it doesn't mean you're guilty just because you commit suicide.
No, it doesn't mean you're guilty. Scott, I think, you know, if they're going to have this press conference, then, you know, that's the time to announce, you know, criminal charges have been or are going to be filed. They need to be open and transparent about it. If you're going to have a press conference but not come out with the hard facts, I don't think that's fair to the individual.
You know, but the problem is, and it does lay on the media in this, it is very hard because if you don't cover the press conference, people will say you're protecting the police chief.
Cover up. Yeah.
Yep. And if you do cover the press conference, people will say, well, there was nothing to that. Why'd you cover it?
Do we know what they said at it?
That they had witnesses and that an investigation had been done and that they were calling on him to resign.
But did they say what the offense was?
Nope.
Oh,
nobody
geez.
Ever did.
Holy cow.
and I have a problem with that.
Me too.
If you're gonna have a press conference and make this big announcement that we're calling on him to resign because we have these accusations where there's going to be charges, they need to be more specific. They need to be more open about it. It basically tells people nothing other than the fact that, hey, this guy did something really bad and we want him to quit.
Well, you know what? And I'll tell you what I'll do. Earlier on, I said I would not read the city council members' names. But you know what? The truth is it was in the newspaper, so
okay.
It's not like it can't be brought up here. The people who held this press conference were Richard Straub. Now, Richard Straub, I know, has since passed away. He was a Republican at large. It was Paul, who is, this writing is so small. It was Paul, Paul J. Bell, a Democrat at large. It was Charles Shirk, it looks like, Shirk or Sheck. And Robert Chapman Jr. And so two Democrats and two Republicans.
So it was across the aisle.
Yeah, plus Sheriff Ron Scheider. And Ron's still around.
Yeah, Ron's still around. We ought to have Ron on and ask him.
I don't think Ron probably wants to talk about this story.
But you know what, Scott? He probably doesn't. But you know what? After all these years, there's all these questions. And in my mind, you know what? It would probably be the right thing to do for him to talk about it.
Well, the only problem I would have, and I know Ron well, and Ron's been on this station, and Ron just tried to run for sheriff again in 2016, is John Long's dead, Mayor Quaintance is dead, I know Richard Straub is dead, and I don't know about the other three council people who knew about it. So Ron, I mean, honestly, could come on here and say anything, and we wouldn't know the difference at this point.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's the problem. Not that he would. I'm not saying that Ron would do that. But clearly Ron at that time thought that the police chief was doing something wrong. And at this time, how would we know the difference? Everybody's dead.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's kind of sad. This is true. Well, you keep fighting the good fight there, Pastor.
Thank you, Glenn. I guess I'll see you in a couple Sundays.
Yeah, a couple Sundays.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Pastor Craig is on Sunday morning, 11:10 till 12 p.m. on this station. Don't miss that. And again, more phone calls. Call in. There are a lot of people who... 74 is not that long ago.
No.
If you were alive, if you remember this... Does anybody... And you know, you can conjecture, honestly, because if you weren't on the inside, maybe you heard something. Who knows?
Yeah.
740-383-9944. But it's my understanding the only people who really knew for sure were the four council people, Sheriff Scheider, The mayor did know, but they wouldn't tell the mayor who the accusers were, and I don't know why that was. And
wow, that's a little shaky.
Yeah, and I think Police Chief John Long did know, but they didn't tell him who the accusers were.
Mm. I wonder if it had to do with money.
I don't know if it had to do with money or women or other police officers.
Well, we always found a good woman story.
I don't think he would have.
No.
But had it not been covered in the media the way it was, I don't know. I don't think he would have committed suicide, unfortunately.
Yeah. Nice. That's kind of sad for... and we do a lot of that. We shame people. We were talking about shaming people before. We shame people for reasons that are weak at best, and then it has consequences. People, there are a lot of people, and Pastor Craig, I'm sure, would tell you, there are a lot of people that are totally depressed for reasons they don't need to be.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, good morning. I've been listening to the conversation about the John Long case. My father was one of those councilmen that you named. And, you know, it happened, 74?
74, yeah.
And Dad was pretty close-mouthed about what the charges were, too, even with his family. But they were sexual in nature. They would have destroyed his reputation. And that's why they just wanted him to resign, to get out, because it was going to be very terrible for his family if those charges had come out. And as far as why they didn't tell him who his accusers were, I don't know what the case was. Maybe the person came forward and wanted to be anonymous. I don't know. But yes, it was tragic that he ended up... killing himself, but I think it was because he knew how it was going to affect his family and himself. And I think shortly after his death, his family did move out of town. Those councilmen. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I appreciate your call this morning. To be honest, it's fair. But one of the things that is so odd about this, and again, it's just in the Stars, so I assume it was reported correctly in October of 74, is that. He did resign that morning, so, I mean,
he did
what they asked him to do, and he did say it was hogwash, the charges, but...
Well, wouldn't you too?
Right. But if he did what they wanted him to do, why did he... I mean, were they still going to go ahead with these charges?
No, I think it was just the guilt and the embarrassment that was going to fall upon him and his family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... At the time, I was 22 when all this was going on. I really didn't even have that much interest in it. But the fact that my father was one of the councilmen, I did know quite a bit about it at the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, 47 years ago.
Remember, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said 47 years ago. That's been
well, and if you would, think back to 47 years ago. It was a different time.
Yeah.
The morals were different. You know... I guess now we don't care if somebody has maybe an affair with somebody else. It's no big deal.
Well,
but back that many years ago, and him being such a high-profile person, and everybody did like him. I mean, he did have a lot of people that really thought he was, and he probably was. He was good at his job, but what he was doing in his extracurricular activities was what was bothering, I think, the council people.
I think this is important to say. When we say sexual in nature, are we talking something he could have been charged with, or are we talking an affair?
It was affairs, but it was something, and I remember this particular, it was something to do with that he had done at the courthouse. I don't know if, you know, he's having... sex at the courthouse or what. Like I said, my dad was really close-mouthed about everything because they were trying to, as far, I know you're looking at it, well, why didn't they just come out and tell everybody what was going on? They were trying to, in some ways, protect his reputation.
Give him a soft way
out. Giving him an opportunity, yes, to just say, okay, I'm exiting. I'm going to go anyway. What's two more months?
Oh, absolutely.
But the fact that he killed himself, and I remember there was a few days after that happened, my father was up for re-election. And a few days after that, someone in Marion, and I don't remember who it was, took out a full-page ad putting their names out there and telling people, do not vote for these people. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know which, my father did not get reelected. And he was a good representative on council at the time. He had the first ward, which included Fair Park and all that area. Mm-hmm. He was a Democrat, but once he was elected, he worked for the people. Mm-hmm. He tried to represent everyone. And as you mentioned those names, and you also mentioned their political party, it wasn't just Democrats going after somebody.
No.
It wasn't Republicans going after someone. It was a mutual. And the council back then, they worked well together. Nowadays, nobody works together. I don't care if it's local, state, federal. Nobody works together. They all just stick up for their party, and that's all they care about is the party. They don't care about the people.
Right. Well, I think you're exactly right, and I think that's exactly true. I think why this, as near as I can tell, from reading the articles back then, because earlier on, I don't know if you heard, I read the editorial that the Star did the next day on it, which was pretty much in defense of John Long. They said the man had faults, but what people had a problem with, and I do understand, if he had his picadillos with affairs or whatever he was doing, I understand that. I can see why, you know, a lot of people will probably debate, is an affair council's business? And I guess that's up to in the air. But I think the problem was if they were giving him an easy way out, which I understand that too, the press conference and the attention that they were putting on him in the media, I think was what people didn't like and felt drove him to the suicide.
Well, maybe they were pressured to put that press conference out by somebody.
Well, I don't know who. I mean, I don't know what part the sheriff played in that. I don't know. The mayor clearly was. What was that?
Yeah, I think Scheider was the one that was doing the investigation into it. But, you know, as I said, my memory's a bit fuzzy on that whole situation because I was young. I didn't care. It didn't mean anything to me. But if you're doing something of sexual nature, it's courthouse. That seems to me that might be something that could be chargeable with something.
I'm going to ask an undelicate question, but it had nothing to do with being gay, did it?
I've never heard that, no.
Well, I mean, because back then, if you were gay, that would be a suicidal thing, you know.
Well, back then, if you were a public official and you were having affairs on the side, even that was
pretty bad.
Today, nobody seems to care, right? It's an everyday nature anymore.
Yeah.
But back then, that was a pretty, especially if you were in a high-profile place.
And I
kind of almost relate this to the Warner case also, because here's a high-profile guy that was handing out hard sentences to people, yet look what he did.
Yeah.
Or, not necessarily him, but I can see why people do hold those people to a higher standard.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's... You're right. And you know what's interesting, though? I think when you read this story from 1974, which was on the front page, his resignation, I think another thing that gave people antsy feelings, not just the press conference, was that Mayor Quaintance, who was the police chief's boss, more or less, he knew what the charges were. Now, he didn't know who the accusers were, but he did know what the charges were, and Quaintance was saying... He was on a long side. He didn't feel he should resign.
Yeah. Well, again, I do believe that Mr. Long did have a fairly good reputation in Marion, and I guess that's why these charges seemed maybe a little too much for his position or something. I wish my father was still alive.
Boy, I tell you what,
I could ask him about this.
What you've given us is really illuminated this whole thing. Yeah.
I kind of agree with you. I don't understand why Mr. Scheider, he is still alive, right?
Yes, he's still around,
it'd be kind of informative if he would step forward, because I'm sure his memory is far better than mine is about this situation.
You know, one of the problems is, especially with what you've told us now, I mean, let's just say it was an affair. Probably then, nobody knew if it was true. And can you imagine if they did reveal that police chief suspected of having an affair? That would have been the headline, which I'm sure he would not have wanted, whether it was true or not.
Right.
And Ron, and I'm not saying I have a fine relationship with Ron. We're fine. But, you know, he could come in here 40-something years later and say, yes, he was having an affair, and really, how would we know?
You're right. But I'm kind of wondering now. Again, I wish my father was alive so I could even ask him about this, because maybe 40-some years later he'd be willing to talk. But I don't know if it was actually the people that had been involved with Mr. Long were the ones that were bringing or going to the council about it. So I just don't know who the people were that made the charges, but I believe they were found to be true.
Okay. Well, I do want to say, and I appreciate you, Kyle. I really appreciate the call, and I want to say, and again, this would go for all those councilmen, and I'm not sure if the other three are still around or not, but. I know Richard Straub is not, and you say your father's not.
My father's passed, yeah.
Yeah, so I know two of them are gone, but I don't know about the other two. But regardless, I don't think those city council members were probably, certainly they weren't wanting the suicide, but I don't think they were probably trying to cause the commotion that went on. I mean, it was a delicate time, and I'm sure your father, and I knew Richard Straub very well, and he was a good guy. So I don't think... You know, we should demonize them, but
sounds like they were trying to soften the blow a little bit.
Right, if that's what it was.
I think it was. And like I said, those people did pay for it, because I don't think any of them got reelected.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Always enjoy listening to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's what radio does best.
Yeah.
You don't get that on television.
Right. Isn't it interesting how people are still interested in something that happened 47 years ago?
Well, it's a mystery. I mean, you know, even she, who is the daughter of her father, I mean, really doesn't know.
Right. And, you know, that says something about her father. A lot of people that get into politics just love to blabber.
Well, I'll tell you what, after somebody commits suicide, I don't think I'd want to be doing much talking about it either.
No, you're probably right there. Yeah.
You know, and let's think about that. I mean, just for a second, let's say it was an affair. Now, is that city council and the sheriff's job? Is that something that you should resign over in 1974?
Yeah, in 2021, I think it would just float right on by.
It'd go right away.
I mean, it would be bad, and you might not get reelected, but it wouldn't be horrible. Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, would that be something city council should even investigate?
I can't see why. That's none of their business. It has to do with the husband and the wife.
And he also was 2 months away from retirement. Yeah. I understand softening the blow, but...
Yeah, I find that a little bad. If he's 2 months away, let it get going. I don't know why they would have brought it up.
It's a strange set of circumstances.
Yeah, it is.
Certainly I don't think it was her father, but it just sounds to me like there was some bone to pick there.
Somebody was picking a bone, that's right.
Even if he did it.
Even if it was way behind the scenes, somebody was picking that bone.
Even if John Long was guilty of whatever this is, just sounds strange.
It's one of the things I hated about politics being in it, is the what do they call it, op news?
Optics.
The opposition news that people dig into to try and find, like the stuff that was going on in Yugoslavia with Biden's son. That type of opposition stuff is so underhanded.
Well, does anybody have any more information? And again, you know, it could just be you were in town at that time. I know a lot of our listeners who, like Mary Ellen, I never thought to ask her, but just popped in my brain when she was in here last week, and she knew him. Of course she did.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people still out there. 740-383-9944.
Now, a question people might ask, and I was thinking this when I was listening to you this morning talking about it, why should we care
about
this, that situation?
Because I found it prescient, not just the nature of the story, because in the history of Marion, that's a pretty unique story, to have the police chief resign and kill himself at his desk 3 hours later.
Well, I won't disagree with you.
Yeah.
It's kind of unusual.
without ever knowing what the charges were right. to this day. And number two, that editorial in the Star the next day,
okay.
in which the Star took John Long's side and said, listen, he was a man who had faults. We're not going to say he was perfect, but the way it was handled, that you didn't charge him, that you didn't tell who the accusers were, you know, you created a situation for him that was awful enough for this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, did he commit suicide immediately, or was it the next day, or do you?
He resigned, and 3 hours later.
3 hours later. Wow.
11 o'clock that morning.
Oh, that kind of takes my breath away. I can't.
At his desk with his own revolver.
Jeez. Hmm. That's kind of sad.
And I'm saying that the pressure he must have been, you know, it could have been the resignation. Again, if he was as well thought of as everybody says, the idea that you had to resign, mm-hmm. that might have been traumatic.
Yeah, and I've been fired a couple of times, and it is traumatic to lose your position. But I went home and cried. That's all I did.
Well, but also he knew he had... you know, about a week of horrible newspaper articles that had been written. And well, but it also had already come.
Yeah, and he was going to get more.
Yeah, and now he's resigned.
Yeah.
But use the word hogwash, and 3 hours later he was dead.
Hmm. Yeah, you'd like to know what really happened.
You really would. And again, I hope it wasn't affairs. I mean, yes, you don't want to be doing that, clearly. But if that led to the end of his life.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Seems kind of trite.
It does now. In today's view, it is kind of trite. But back in 74, we were just coming out of Vietnam, and there was a lot of angst going on in general, like there is now.
But you know, the problem is, even for people who have done things, and clearly at this point, I just by the court of law, not my judgment, the Warners have been found guilty.
Yeah.
They were judged long ago in the court of public opinion.
Yeah. And well, and now they're free, aren't they? They're
on bond.
On bond. Yeah.
But could be going back.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I always, you know, even when that was going on, I felt sorry for them. Even if everything that was said about it was correct, I always feel sorry for people that get caught doing something bad and they knew it was bad, and I don't know. I wish we could find a way to...
Well, I will say this, and don't ever ask me about this in public or in private, because I will not answer.
So you're going to say it on radio?
No, because people, it's too broad that people will never know who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
But I know two Marion politicians in my time, I'm not saying current, but in my time of covering Marion politics, I know two politicians who were married, who were actively having affairs.
It wasn't me, by the way. I was just going to put that in
there. No, but you know what? I certainly wasn't the only one who knew it.
Is that right?
Oh, no. Huh. No, because they didn't come and tell me.
I think there are a lot more affairs going on than people...
Right, but you know what? Nobody ever investigated them. Nobody ever made it public. Nobody ever... Even when they ran elections, nobody ever threw it at them.
I think it would be more important if they were stealing money than if they were having an affair.
But it was true. It was absolutely true. You knew. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah is having an affair. It was... pretty obvious.
Hmm.
And yet, it never was brought up. And you know what? Neither of these people ever ended their marriage.
Huh. Interesting. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that have affairs that... I got to quit kicking you.
Yeah, I know we're going to kick each other into the table here.
A lot of people have affairs, and they get through that. I have friends that have had affairs, and they get through it.
Oh, and I don't fault them for doing it. I'm just saying, if this in 1974 led a police chief to suicide in the 2000s, it's happened.
Yeah, yeah, easily.
Yeah, and I don't know that there was any investigations going on in those cases.
Makes you wonder about the pressure on President Clinton when the Lewinsky thing popped open.
Well, you wonder. I mean, in Hillary.
Yeah.
She felt the brunt of that as well.
Yeah, she stood by her man.
And that didn't help her any.
No, it didn't. It didn't at all.
All right, phone calls, phone lines are open here. Any opinions on, it's a fascinating story. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But you know, it leads into what we've been talking about for a long time. Politics, local and national, public figures in general. The problem is that, like I've always said, I'm tired of everybody being called a disgrace because it means nothing.
I told Dr. Feynman that last
week. Did you? What did he have to say?
He said, do we need to stop doing it? I said, yeah.
Good. Wise, I'll speak to him tomorrow. But it just, to me, the problem is there are very few disgraces. But when everybody's a disgrace, then it means nothing for the people who are.
Yeah. You're calling... The sky is falling too much.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I say, and I'm going to say that, now don't get the vernacular out that you did last week. But I'm going to say...
You cut it.
But no, people, I'll give you, and I'm going to go both sides of the aisle here. People, I'll tell you, five hated people, guaranteed. Jim Jordan, Ted Cruz, Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are very hated. Not by everyone, but loved by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But viscerally hated by certain people.
Right.
They're not. None of them are disgraces. None of them. They are politicians doing their party's bidding. That's what they're there for, period. Okay? Some people love their decisions. Some people hate them. But they're politicians. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, those are disgraces. Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree, but I fight with myself all the time when, as you know, I don't like Jim Jordan, but he's just a man.
That's it.
He's just a man, and he's doing what he thinks. I'm sure he's not thinking,
gonna
be bad here. He's just doing what he thinks
is right.
Is right.
Nancy Pelosi the same.
Absolutely. And I think we have to, it would be a lot better world if we could just say, okay, that guy's a jerk. I'll let him be a jerk. Girl's a jerk.
You know what would be much more effective? If you want to get the point across that you don't agree with the person, say that.
Yeah. Oh, and that's what I do. When I really get mad at a politician, usually I either write him a letter or I call him. And now that's kind of frustrating, too.
But even if you're a commentator, this is where you hear a lot of it. If you're a commentator on the radio, television, newspaper, I'm not saying don't have an opinion, but say, you know what? I'm trying to think of something. So let's talk about the stimulus bill. I think too much money was wasted. Nancy Pelosi, I just don't agree with what she did. That's okay. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nancy Pelosi. She's a disgrace. Well, no.
Or even worse, they called her all sorts of names, including the.
And the same with Ted Cruz and the whole leaving Texas during. That wasn't disgraceful.
No, he was kind of doing it for a good reason.
Yes, he was.
He was getting his daughters out of there.
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yeah,
who wouldn't? Yes.
If I could had the money.
And I tell you what, and I know he's disliked in this area. Well, he's liked in this area, Jim Jordan, but he's disliked by a lot of people.
He's disliked by his own party. Even.
Yeah, but Jim Jordan is doing something right because, you know, it's kind of like if you really like Ohio State football, you hate Michigan. Okay? And it's kind of like that with Jim Jordan. If you really don't agree with his beliefs, you hate him. But guess what? Unfortunately, in my neck of the woods, he's what's called a success. He gets elected. No matter how he does it, he is.
Yeah.
And you know what? All those people we just mentioned, Pelosi, Schumer, Jim Jordan, Mitch McConnell, Ted Cruz, we wouldn't know who they were if they weren't successful.
Well, and I think they get criticized. The best criticism, if you find out a politician is actually being corrupted, then that's one time to criticize them. If you don't have any proof of anything, just saying you hate him and he's a jerk, and I cleaned that up.
Thank you.
He's a jerk. Doesn't do anything. You've got to tell him why he's a jerk.
Well, I'll tell you, is it one of the most Donahue, because I have this thing in front of me, this Harold Wardrobe. Donahue came back in 2003 on MSNBC. They spent a whole lot of money, made him their flagship show. Now, at that time, the number one show in cable news was Bill O'Reilly. He was 8 o'clock on Fox News, and he was popular. And so MSNBC's answer was...
Now he's a disgrace.
But this is interesting. Donahue, MSNBC, hired a liberal Donahue, put him on at 8 o'clock opposite Bill O'Reilly. And I remember Donahue was doing publicity for that show, his Donahue show.
What year was this again?
Like 2003, 2002. Okay, so he comes on, I think it was The View, because I think Barbara Walters asked him this question. So he comes on, he's promoting his show, and he says, Barbara Walters says, rant a little bit, you know, you got Bill O'Reilly on Fox and whoever on CNN, and he said, I don't agree with Bill O'Reilly, but in my business and in my neighborhood, he's what's called a hit. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah,
he drew the biggest crowd. That's what you get paid to do.
Yeah, and that's true. And especially if people get so that they hate commentators, especially if they're known as an opinion announcer, not a news announcer. And most of those, that gentleman was an opinion person. He was not a real news
person. And so was Donahue.
Yeah, and those people... they're just telling you what they feel. They're not telling you the news. So.
Right, but you can't get angry at somebody for drawing a crowd. That's what they're paid to do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the crowd may... you may disagree with the crowd and also disagree with the person, but that's their right.
But it's the same thing with politicians. I hate to say it. You know what? They wouldn't be there if they weren't getting elected.
Yeah, I'm not there. I didn't get elected. I'm out.
It's you know, it's just very hard for me to, I don't agree with everybody's stances on everything, but you cannot say they're disgraceful, they're unsuccessful, that they have figured it out, or they wouldn't be in the office.
Well, I guess you could say I was a disgrace because I didn't win.
No, I don't think the people who don't win are disgraced.
No,
it's like the story with 2 minutes left to go. Story I told you last week is absolutely true. A very successful politician, and it's a Democrat, told me one time that they were always for gun control, but knew unless somebody asked them, they would never say that because they knew that it would hurt them.
It's a hot point.
Yeah,
it is.
So, you know, I don't have a problem with that, because if you can't get elected, you can't get anything done.
That's the old saw, yeah. If you can't get in the office, you're just talking to the wind.
Well, and you know, Bernie Sanders was very popular with the kids. If Bernie would have just came to the center a little bit, he very well might have beat Joe Biden in the primary. Matter of fact, I honestly think he would have. Joe Biden started off very slow.
Real soft.
His own vice president, ended up his own vice president, knocked him for a loop several times in those debates.
Yep.
He looked tired. And Bernie Sanders looked, but Bernie Sanders was just too liberal for a lot of the Democratic Party. Had he been a little more centrist, I think he would have. I mean, he looked very good there going into the pandemic.
He has a similar problem to many politicians. Kind of sounded annoying.
Well, but I do believe, if you remember, Bernie was doing very well. But there were certain states in a primary he could not win because of those liberal views. If he was just a little more...
He and Warren have the same problem. They're kind of harsh in their language, and I think if they would have softened it a little, they would have been better off.
Well, I'll say this. I know John Glenn probably believed in gun control. I know that Jimmy Carter probably believed in gun control. I know that... I'll throw one more in here. I know that... Well, let's say Lyndon Johnson probably believed in gun control. Not one of them ever said it publicly.
I doubt in their career. Strickland ever said it either.
Might not have.
Yeah.
But you know what? They got elected.
Yep.
But they got elected. Celeste, throw him in there as well.
Yeah.
So that's the crux.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, Progressive Life.
Waving and having such a good time celebrating. WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15.